still sound like me watching the movie yesterday.
Yeah.
Just sitting there screaming.
You screamed the whole time?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. It's like, but I love this movie.
I'm going to be honest. I enjoyed.
No cyanide shade to 13 going on 30.
I enjoyed every moment.
Yeah.
I was so delighted. Yeah, actually, there were a few moments where I was like, this is kind of like awkward and hard to watch. But most of it, I was like, thank you.
On that note.
Are we ready to get to it?
I think we are. Oh, wait. Do you want to do an intro?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Are we doing an intro?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing right now?
I thought that was like just some pregame, chat, but we can get to an official intro.
And I can we just start talking.
Yeah, we just start talking. It's cool. So welcome to a Cremaine Kennedy Club already in progress, everyone. You just caught some intro talk. We're going to be going over 13 going on 30, which some of us apparently love, and others of us are perhaps lacking the experience to relate to many of these problems. 13 going on 30 is about Jenna Rink, who is turning 13 and has all of the problems I can only presume every 13-year-old gal growing up in 1987 had. Embarrassing parents, a predatory group of popular girl frenemies who she so desperately wants to be a part of, even though they are clearly the worst, and an adorable next-door neighbor who is also clearly in love with her and will eventually grow up to be heartthrob Mark Ruffalo, but who she has no interest in and she has no clue because he is not current heartthrob Chris Grandy. When her 13th birthday party is ruined by the aforementioned group of frenemies, Jenna wishes she was 30, and a blizzard of magical wish glitter grants her desire. She wakes up the next morning, 17 years later, still 13, but in the body of 30-year-old Jennifer Garner, living her best life in the big city. Successful magazine editor, gorgeous professional athlete boyfriend, and best friends with her childhood dream best friend, me, Tom Tom? But it turns out she's also a terrible person. Will 13-year-old Jenna be able to set 30-year-old Jenna's life straight, or will she be destined to dance the Thriller dance alone forever?
Before we say anything at all, I just want to give you 10 out of 10 for that intro. I've never heard this film described any better. Thank you so much. I love this.
You're welcome. Well, that is our podcast, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That was truly a masterpiece.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Nothing more to discuss. Thank you. That was great. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. We are recording this on Valentine's Day, fittingly enough.
Had to get that rom-com going on today. What a masterpiece. I mean, come on. Loved it. I thought I was going to be like drifting away the whole time and looking out the window a little bit. For the most part, my eyeballs were glued to the screen and I had so much fun. There were only a few moments where I was watching it and thinking, this is awkward and weird.
Agreed.
I thought she was just awkward and weird because on one hand, like, she is clearly not 13 anymore.
That
like, there are just a couple moments where I'm like, this is really weird and doesn't make any sense. Like, you have to know. You know, you're hanging out with this group of, like, 11-year-olds. She would be institutionalized. Also, can we be real here? Someone would have institutionalized this person who's going to work in her nightdress and, like, acting like her boyfriend. She has no idea what's going on. For like the entire movie, she's just like, who are you people?
Yeah.
People would think she was having a psychotic break. And it was just like, it was very funny, but I'm just trying to picture like how this would play.
It's true. I was kind of thinking about that the first 30-ish minutes in. I was thinking like, I'm surprised they didn't have a quick scene of her like at the doctor. And then the doctor saying like, oh, it seems to be temporary amnesia. Just like a way to explain away to the other adults around her that like there's nothing wrong with her and that she's not actually a criminal or like going through some kind of break. A way to explain like, oh, it's okay. Just let her continue in society and it'll all be all right. But instead, all of these adults are just like, oh, you seem a little off. But that's fine.
She's hungover.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So Eric, you could not relate, it sounds, because Heather and I had the best time.
We loved it.
You know, okay, so I think this movie came out when I was 24, and I am a dude. So I just feel like probably for you guys, it was more like timely for you to watch this kind of thing. And it's such like a hackneyed overdone concept. It seems like every couple of years, there's one of these like you know, I Wish I Was 17 Again came out around the same time with Zac Efron, which is like Matthew Perry all of a sudden becoming 17. So it's like the opposite, but the same concept. There were like those body switching movies that were kind of a similar thing in like the 80s. There were two that came out like right next to each other where I think it's like Dudley Moore and maybe Kirk Cameron or something.
Yeah.
There's Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage. Like, so like, it's just a concept of like Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just not, it's been done so many times that I feel like meh.
Yeah. And I will say, I thought it was really cool because I forgot that the class that they did the magazine for was 2004, because that was actually my graduating class. So I was like, aww. Yeah. But I also did not want to be 30 at that time. Like 30 was terrifying. 18 was, you know, I was looking at 18 at the time and I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I did laugh out loud when she was in the beginning to her mom, I wish I was 30. And I turned to Gina and I was like, said no one ever.
Yeah, like I wish I was 21.
I was wondering what you two might think of that, because I feel like this movie does bring up some interesting concepts of like time and childhood and adulthood, and like how old do you two feel right now in your life? You know, like some people say like I'm 45, but I feel 15. Like sometimes your mental place in your body doesn't totally change and you kind of feel younger than you are, or sometimes you feel older than you are. So first of all, I was curious, did you guys watch this and think anything like that?
I feel like age in movies is generally portrayed very poorly. Like, I don't know, maybe this says something negative about me, but I still feel like I have a very similar sense of humor that I had when I was like 10 years old, you know?
Yeah.
I like to think I'm mature in other ways, but you know, I think there's some truth to that. Like you don't feel as old as you are. Mm-hmm. I think like as you get older, time seems to just pass by so quickly. Mm-hmm. To say that this movie came out 20 years ago is insane to me, because it felt like it took so long for me to get from like elementary school through high school, mm-hmm. and then like half the time to get from high school to now. Mm-hmm. Even though it's been much more than 18 years between. So I do think there's a lot of truth to like, I don't know, stagnation is the right word, but like when I say I'm going to be 44 in 2 weeks, like that does not feel real.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm in my 20s.
Yeah. I feel like I'm 25 most of the time, even though I am most definitely not 25. But I thought it was interesting that she achieved so much success in her career by the time she was 30. And especially as like a woman, I just felt like that was really, really unrealistic that she was able to rise through the ranks at a magazine, like a cutthroat magazine
at
in New York
Boys
City.
Magazine.
Yeah.
The biggest magazine. It's so funny that she was like, quote, she was literally living her dream life from when she was 13.
Yeah.
Because like, if you ask me my dream life when I was 13, it is, I mean, not that I don't love my life, but I'm just like, wow.
Yeah. It was a lot different. Yeah. It looked a lot different.
Yeah, it's true.
Not that I'm not happy with my life. It's just, it looked a lot different.
I am not a professional baseball player.
Right.
Yeah, and it is interesting. I like that concept that you brought up, Heather, that just that like it's not common for women who are just turning 30 to be at the level of success that she is. At first, when you're watching the movie, that was my reaction, like, oh, wow, it really all just came together for you, huh? Yeah. And then towards the end of the movie, you learn that she was the villain the whole time and that she got to where she was by being absolutely cutthroat and horrible and cheating people. So it's not a realistic scenario, because most of us would not do that.
This was the most predictable movie I've seen in years. Because they're talking about, oh, someone keeps scooping us, this Ravel magazine.
Yeah.
And I just turned to Gina and I'm like, it's her, right? Like,
yeah.
It has to be her.
Yeah.
You have to find out she's a terrible person. Like, that's the movie. And that's, like, in the first 15 minutes. And you're just like, yep, she is horrible.
It's so funny that you say that, because I was so glued to the screen. And I fully was like, I wonder who it's going to be. And then when she pulls that envelope out of the desk and it has her name on it, and it, like, shows proof that she's been cheating her own magazine company, I was like, wow, scandalous. I never would have predicted it.
Okay, and if you're that much of a snake, are you really bringing those letters to your job and putting them in your work desk? I'm like, come
Yeah,
on.
that was very
That
weird.
I thought was, yeah, that was ridiculous. That should be hidden away in her house somewhere, like under lock and key. I will
Yeah.
say though, I thought it was interesting that like she was approaching things as a 13-year-old, because a lot of the time I think about like, you know, if I saw myself as I am now, like when I was 13, like if I knew this was where my life was gonna go, like how would I feel about that? And I do think I'd feel pretty good about like the person I've become. So it was just interesting to see that, like, oh, I don't like this person, so I'm gonna start kind of changing and
Well,
morphing. Yeah.
can we talk a little bit about that? Because
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the seeds of terrible Jenna are still there at the end of
Oh,
the book.
yeah. Well, she's
Because
gonna, yeah.
she's like, okay, there's a scene where this guy comes in and she's apparently been having an affair with
Oh my
one of her
God,
coworkers'
yes.
husbands, right? And she is so shocked and appalled. And yet, Mark Ruffalo is engaged and she's still on board with trying to get Mark Ruffalo and break up a marriage that does not appear to be like,
Yeah.
it didn't seem like his fiance was a horrible person. Like, they don't make her out to be like, oh, they're not in love anymore. It's like, at least a morally kind of gray area. Like, she's still 13-year-old Jenna, still on board with being, a homewrecker or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't know. Did she really change?
I think she did, because she still had the recklessness of a 13-year-old, of course. But I will say, Mark Ruffalo also allowed that to happen, because
Yes,
he
he
was
did.
going
I am
to
not
talk.
letting him
Yeah.
off the hook.
So he was a 30-year-old. So, and he let it happen, but not letting her
I
off
would
the hook
say it's
either.
worse
Yeah.
because she also clearly treated him like garbage
I
for decades.
agree.
And he, after like a week of hanging out, was like, I love you again from when we were
Yeah.
13.
Yeah. But I will say he did want to like talk to her, like when he was talking to his fiance, he was like looking for her and couldn't find her. So I wonder if he wanted to like call off the engagement. Like, this isn't right. Anyway, neither here nor there, not defending Miss Jenna
Right. I'm
at
just saying
all. Yeah.
because
I mean,
like things
towards.
definitely worked out, but
Yeah.
I was just wondering, like, did
Yeah.
she really change or was she just happier because she got what she wanted?
Yeah. I mean, towards the end, the last one of the last scenes of her life falling apart as a 30-year-old is when she goes to talk to Mark Ruffalo and she's like, don't worry about it. Go get married. Like, and then she just says, I just want you to be happy. So it's like at the expense of her own happiness that she's like, here's my blessing or whatever, even though we've known each other for like a week. So at least she's not going in there and saying, please let me be a homewrecker. Take me back. And then weirdness ensues. But it is still really awkward to watch throughout the movie them like being interested in each other and like flirty and weird. It was kind of uncomfortable. Like there were certain scenes where I was thinking, like, this is so out of the question for an adult to be doing, and I can't, like, I'm not on board with this. It's not even cute because it just makes me uncomfortable.
Agreed. Yeah. And it's like, again, like 2 weeks before he gets married, he's doing this. Like, clearly that marriage is gonna last. Like, that's
Yeah, it's going great.
like fiance
Yeah.
relationship is weird because
It
they're
was.
getting married in 2 weeks, but she lives in Chicago, I think she said,
Yeah.
and he
Yeah.
lives in New York City, and they're apparently haven't even talked about moving in together. And I'm
Yeah.
like, what is that supposed to be where the filmmakers are making us be like, it's okay, that's not a real relationship. They can do
Yeah.
whatever,
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's one of those things that happens in some of these movies. Like, this is my famous hot take. I hate the movie Sleepless in Seattle because I just feel really, if you watch that
Yeah.
movie from Bill Pullman's point of view, Meg Ryan is terrible.
Yeah. Oh,
Like,
yeah.
but she falls in love with a random person on the radio, but she's engaged and she just leaves Bill Pullman to like
Yeah.
go be with this guy she heard talk on the radio who's like a sad sack. I mean, it's not that, so I love him, but it's just like, why, how is this a hero story? Like,
Right.
and it's kind of a similar thing here with Mark Ruffalo, where it's like, I don't know, we need to see, like, in those kind of situations, there has to be like a reason that this person is trapped in an unhealthy, terrible relationship. You have to like
Yeah.
kind of villainize the other person. And again, it's not okay
Oh
to
no.
like, but at least if they break up and you get a reason for it, other than like, I don't know, the guy on the radio sounded better or.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, he did say that I think Jenna had asked him, like, oh, is she your soulmate? And he was like, no, I don't really believe in any of that stuff. Like, I haven't felt this way since like high school about anybody. He's like, you know, it's just, it's not a thing. So I think he was kind of saying like, he just kind of settled to it. Obviously it was Jenna that made him have all of those feelings as well. So I think that was part of it too. And I wonder if like, that's just wild to me too, like actually getting married and not discussing where you're living. Like, you know, I do have an aunt and uncle that have maintained separate households for like their whole relationship just because of where they worked it. One's in Nevada and one's in Arizona. So like they see each other on weekends and now they finally live together at like 80 years old. So it's like, I get that, but that's something that they discussed like in advance and it just worked better for their lives and their styles. You know, it wasn't like it wasn't Chicago to New York City either. It's like an hour.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're an adult and you want to have a lifelong relationship with someone, these are things that you discuss and you plan.
Yeah. In his parents' backyard too. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah.
That was a productive 2 weeks. This movie apparently takes place in 2 weeks. It was just like, wow, that's a lot.
And it's like, you know, being over 30, like how do you have the energy to do all that stuff like after work? I don't get it.
Can we talk about how many people apparently have the Thriller dance memorized? Because that was like my favorite scene of the movie. They throw this party because the magazine poise is failing. Mm-hmm. I don't think they throw the party because the magazine is failing, but it's like to generate interest in something. I don't remember exactly. And it's 11 o'clock and everybody's leaving. They're like, this is a disaster. What can we do? So Jenna, who earlier in the movie was like doing the Thriller dance, is like, oh, I will just do the Thriller dance, and is joined by like everyone left at this party who knows the choreography flawlessly. I loved that part, but I was just like, this is insanity.
I loved it so much, and I was so jealous of everyone there in that moment. I wanted to join them so badly.
Someday, I want to be somewhere where there is an impromptu choreographed dance that I know, which I mean is an impossibility in and of itself.
Right.
and I'm not talking about fine. Like a flash mob. I just want this like to organically happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll know my life is complete.
Yeah, I will say when my friends and I used to get together, like and have sleepovers before, you know, the internet. So before the dawn of time, we would watch MTV and try to learn the dances. So I was actually thinking when I was watching that, like, I wonder what our like millennial, like elder millennial dance would be.
It's probably NSYNC.
Yeah. Like the bye, bye, bye. Because I feel like everybody knows that. So you wouldn't know the whole dance, but you would know like some of the basic movements. That was impressive to me that everyone knew the entire Thriller dance.
Yeah,
so I was like, wow, you spent a lot of time in front of the TV just like watching this over and over and over again.
We didn't have much to do in the 80s. Yeah. So I guess.
Yeah, you gotta. I remember, I mean, this was not in the 80s, but I would play songs very loudly on YouTube. And then this was in my kitchen because it was a desktop computer, like a dinosaur that was in the kitchen on this countertop. And I would play songs really loudly and there wasn't really anywhere to dance. So I would just like skip and scream sing. And I would skip in a circle around the kitchen table, just over and over and over and over. And that was my life when I was like 13 years old.
I love that for you.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
See,
I loved it.
The 80s before the internet, we had to wait for the video to play on MTV.
Yeah.
Well, so like you could definitely totally more easily learn choreography to whatever you wanted these days.
Yes.
But in the 80s, there was just, you literally just had to like, maybe you could VHS tape it.
That's
if you
what
were,
I was thinking.
Yeah, just replay it over and over. But otherwise you were just like waiting.
So it's really an accomplishment that they all knew the Thriller dance at that point.
Maybe they learned it from YouTube. Maybe it was like something on all of their bucket lists and it just, the opportunity presented it to themselves.
Literally everyone in the room's bucket list. This is like, everyone in the room.
You know, I've got to learn. I'm going to go home and learn the Thriller dance. We'll post it on the Chrome. This is not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that was a thing too, because it was a multi-generational like workplace. So it's like, I could see like, the people born in like the 70s might know this, like if they were teenagers at a certain time, but it was, everybody knew it. And I was like,
To get back to your point of like, sure, she's 30 and how did she rise to that? Everyone in there was super young. And even Andy Serkis is like the boss of everyone. And even he couldn't have been 40 at that point. And I'm just like, I feel like the magazine game, like the Devil Wears Prada, is probably much more accurate because that's like also a fashion lifestyle magazine. And everyone at the top is like a rickety old person. You know, in any industry, really. But I'm like, I don't know that any of these people would be in these positions at these magazines.
So this is just kind of a side note, but one of the things I thought about doing as a career was publishing. I wanted to do either magazine publishing or book publishing. And so I was just kind of looking at jobs in New York City, and you like start at the bottom. And so I would have been like 22 at the time. So it's like, I can't imagine being 22 and just doing like these little like basically intern kind of jobs. Yeah, and then like, at an established magazine, moving all the way up the ranks in like 7 or 8 years. Like that's just,
you don't go from mailroom / making copy to picking the magazine cover in 7 or 8 years in any industry, really. Mm-mm.
Totally. Not start, like
unless you start the business yourself.
And unless you're absolutely brutal and just threaten people and blackmail people and like send information to competing magazines, but whatever, that's fine. That's not, maybe not a role model that we want to
maybe not.
Good times. Does anybody have any other real thoughts about the film? I mean, I sounded in the beginning like I hated it, and I didn't. It was just like, I don't know, what can we rate this on? What's a good scale? Dollhouses made by your childhood love. How many dollhouses would you give this? How many sachets of like glitter? Wish dust, wish glitter, what would you guys give it?
A 3.5.
Oh, that's less than I would have thought.
So I, okay, so
yeah, Heather, tell us, because I'm going to, I'm sorry, you can't stop me.
So
tell us the story of your history with this movie.
All of my favorite movies are cheesetastic. Like I love Heavyweights, Camp Nowhere, those kind of things. They are not cinematic masterpieces. However, however, I really enjoy them. They're like very good fluff. And it's like, I would rate a movie like Inception, which isn't my favorite movie, like a 5, just because of the way it was done, you know, and just like all the things. And obviously Richard Simmons gets a 5.
Sure.
Because he's Richard Simmons. But it's when I rate things 3 or 3.5, it is not because I disliked them. It's just, it's like fluffy brain candy, like the Selection series by Kier Cass with the fancy draft finish. She's a 3. Pretty Little Liar, she's a 3. Did I read the whole series and enjoy it? Yes, I did.
I feel
so, it. So yeah, it's like, you're not going to learn, you're not going to grow from this, but it is a delight and a masterpiece and you should watch it.
That is very useful to know your criteria because I often have this discussion where it's incredibly hard to rate films because there are two, like, so one of my favorite movies of all time is Wedding Crashers, but that's not, there's nothing good in the film art. So there are like definitely two competing scales of like, I recognize that this is a well-made movie. And I just like most Stanley Kubrick movies are like technically proficient. They're really well told. They're just not my thing. I'm not a big Kubrick guy. You know, I don't end up liking the movies, but I can realize that they are achievements in the art of film. I tend to rate things like just how much I like them.
Yeah.
Even though I can realize like the artistic qualities can be like way above that. So I would also give this like a 3 because it was just like a throwaway movie that I may never watch again, but it was fine. Like it was enjoyable for an hour and a half ish. A nice breezy normal length movie, thank you for once, because we're entering into that territory where 3+ hours is somehow becoming normal and I hate it. So 3 bags of wish glitter for me, please.
So I have to tell you something.
Oh no.
Is this
five bags?
Oh god. What's happening, Shelby?
So one of my best friends in the world had a 13th birthday party. And when I tell you that her Aunt Pam put it together, we all wore pink and cringy lip gloss. And it is a horror to look upon those photographs now, but it's also a joy. Aunt Pam went to so much effort. Because I remember like the decorations were all just like very pink and very intense. There were like these beautiful homemade cupcakes and whatever. Like it was fantastic. At the end of the evening, we watched 13 going on 30. And so I must tell you right now that this movie holds a very special place in my heart because of that very cringy and hilarious and wonderful time in my life. And I will have you know that when I turn 30, I will be watching this movie because I absolutely must. I don't know that it's a cinematic masterpiece, and I'm really glad that we talked about it because, especially Eric, the things that you brought up in terms of like the plot being really weird and like certain things about the movie being weird, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would watching it now, because the last time I watched it was when I was like 12. So yeah. I don't know how many bags of magic glitter. I don't know, like 4.5, and I only keep that half a bag from it because it's got some weird elements to it that kind of take me out of it. But I think it's really cute and it's really silly, great, and 13-year-old me loved it.
Yeah, that's perfectly valid. Like, this is a fine movie. There's just to someone who's seen so many of this same or similar concept.
It's true. Special
about it, and I don't have that like biographical connection. You know, I was 24 and you know, I'm a guy and I'm just like,
fine. And it's interesting you say that, because I also don't really identify with anything in this character, like the popular boy thing and like the like hanging out with the cool gals, like that whole concept. Even when I was 13, I didn't really relate to that at all. Mm-hmm. I just remember that it was a really good time and it was really silly. I love it in a weird way where like I don't necessarily connect to it and I don't identify with it, but it sure does remind me of people I love very much and of a very silly time.
That is the film.
Yeah.
And music.
Yeah.
Art in general. Just like the ability to transport you to a different place for a little while.
Yeah.
Totally. That does remind me, before we wrap up, I have a very quick question for you both. Yes. I was watching this movie, and obviously the last time I saw it, I was so young that I think a lot of the jokes and the dialogue just flew over my head at the time. Mm-hmm. But watching it now, is this a movie for 13-year-olds or is it a movie for adults? Because there are a few moments of dialogue and a few jokes where I'm like, oh, this is like these seem to be leaning more towards adult level humor and things. Did you guys think that as you were watching it?
So I kind of think of it as like Dirty Dancing, which was another one of my favorite movies. I love a cheap.
We must cover it.
I love it. Oh my God, I love it.
My mom watched it so much.
Eric, you can pick the next movie.
But I remember when I watched it, I was like, oh, that's what was going on. So I'm kind of wondering if like the 13-year-olds would get the context, but would just like, they probably wouldn't get like her writing her name on the top of her papers being weird. Like, well, yeah, why are they like zooming in on her writing Jenna Rink? Like, whereas I'm just like, we don't do that in meetings.
Yeah,
it was really cute. All of the moments where she does something that you're like, oh, this is very like niche 13-year-old.
Yeah.
But like, they're not necessarily super weird things to do, but we just don't do them anymore. Like you said, like writing your name on the top of a paper. Yeah. It's really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also like that common thing where even in a kid's movie, there'll be a bunch of adult jokes that kids just aren't going to get. So I think it's different because teens are maybe sometimes smarter than we think they are, but also more naive than we think they are. So
sure.
I think it's both. I think it probably has some jokes that kids aren't going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is probably one of those movies that's made for like, I know I went to see this with my mom in the movies in 2004. It probably has that kind of vibe where it's like these young parents are going to want to take their like teenage kids and it'll be for both of them kind of thing.
Yeah. Cause I would say even the like dance that her boyfriend did with like the like doing hockey, I just remember thinking that was just so ridiculous, and I was like 18 at the time, but I remember just being like, this is so cringy. Like Jenna,
did you not find it cringy now?
Oh yeah, of course I did. Yeah, but I just remember,
was like, oh no.
I loved her boyfriend. Yeah. That guy was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm through with this movie. We can move on now.
Yeah.
So did anybody find anything else they'd like to watch on Canopy?
I forgot.
I bet Eric found something.
I did. You know what? I have a whole paragraph of things.
Oh, good.
I only looked because there is a whole section of rom-coms for Valentine's Day that includes some of my favorite movies. Rom-coms are like my guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. of that movie we were talking about, which, like, these are not good movies, but I enjoy the heck out of them, including the greatest Olympic hockey / figure skating mashup movie ever made, The Cutting Edge.
That's on Canopy.
It's on Canopy.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna leave here and do the Pevchenko twist immediately. Mm-hmm. America's Sweethearts, which I think I brought up last time, but I don't care. It's an adorable movie and mm-hmm. I just love it. Coupling is a British sitcom from, I think it was like the early to mid 2000s. It's basically the British version of Friends, about a bunch of like 20 somethings living in London. Breakfast at Tiffany's, which I've never seen, but I know is a classic movie that I should watch just once at least. Mm-hmm. Addicted to Love is Ferris Bueller and Meg Ryan, who are kind of stalking their ex girlfriend and boyfriend together, which is just an adorable weird movie. Lars and the Real Girl, I won't go into it, but it's Ryan Gosling playing just a very weird person. Earth Girls Are Easy is a very early Jim Carrey movie, also starring Gina Davis. She's actually the main character. Falls in Love with an Alien, and Jeff Goldblum is always a gem, and he's in it. One Crazy Summer, Beautiful Girls, which is a movie I remember liking when I was 16. Don't remember much about it. Mm-hmm. And Eagle versus Shark, which I haven't seen, but it's a very early Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords movie.
Wow, you have a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. I might actually use most of my credits this month.
Yeah, I'm stoked about The Cutting Edge. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Oh my gosh.
I still love it. I watch it all the time.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in forever.
I realized, I think this month, I'm sorry if I've already said this, that Bo is Afraid is on Canopy.
Yes.
And it must be vaguely new. I think it's pretty new.
I think it was just out last year. I feel like it was in our new DVD collection in the fall or over the summer or something like that.
Yeah, I know that it's a new movie and I think it's also new on Canopy. And isn't it Ari Aster? Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it is. Okay, if right. I've seen his other two movies. Yeah, I've seen his other two movies and I really liked them. And then I heard about Bo is Afraid and at first I was really excited. And then I kind of learned a little more about the movie. And for one, it's really long. And then also, I think it's more like a dark comedy kind of horror. Like, it's not quite of the same strain as Ari Aster's other two movies. So I think I should watch it just because I should, and it's there and it's on mm-hmm. Canopy. Have you seen it, Eric?
I haven't. My understanding is it's almost like a modern day adaptation of The Odyssey, about Ari Aster is Jewish, and this is kind of about his experience being in a Jewish family. I think it's about, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't remember exactly, but Joaquin Phoenix trying to make it to his grandmother's house or something across
the country. Yeah, his mother's or something.
His mother or his grandmother or something, and he's like, basically on an odyssey to get to this place.
That's the very vague idea that I had of it. And I'm not opposed to watching it, but if you are an Ari Aster fan, it's there if you would like to see that. Strap in and get ready.
Ari Aster is the perfect example, I think, of one of those things where I recognize that he made a very good movie that just isn't my thing in the end. Mm-hmm. He makes really well-made, really interesting. I love the visual appeal of his movies. I just, like, at the end, I'm always kind of like, meh. So definitely watch it, though, because I will. Well, I guess that's all, unless anybody has anything else to say.
I'm just 30, flirty, and thriving. Just be.
I know, honestly. 30, flirty, and thriving.
Stay low.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. Stay low, Heartland.
Bye.